This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide. From a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And my radio wrestling name is the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, I'm in the mountain west in Beast Lake, Wyoming. And over there in Maine, we in Moose Ear, Maine, we have Chandler St. Pierre, the jabbering coon cat. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I am safe, and no, I have not been contacted by the government.
Are you a fan of Barack Hussein Obama?
No, he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
He is. I am not a fan. Yeah, I think he wants to be the emperor of the one world government. I think that's his religion.
Yep, he's a statist. They all want to be emperors and rulers and control us.
Yeah. But that's square, man. That is so square.
So square.
So square. So what do you want to talk about tonight on the radio?
Oh, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. The history of the CIA and the drug trade and the media's complicity in it.
Complacency.
Complacency, that's the word I'm looking for.
Complicity.
They're complicit.
Yeah, y'all try doing radio this late at night, every night. Your brain turns to jelly.
It does.
Without drugs provided by the CIA that fund tyrants in the Middle East and South America.
And we've got, a little bit on Edward Snowden, the famous whistleblower.
Yeah, and we got some whistleblower stuff about the CIA and the drug trade.
Right.
And the war on drugs. Yeah, Gary Webb.
And a little bit of audiophile stuff in the history of sound, because we like to talk about that.
We really do. We really do. And it's not what you usually hear on talk radio that also includes calling Obama a socialist, and a liar whose feet stink. But we are fans. We are fans of audio and audio production and reproduction of audio and dissemination of audio.
Boy. And speaking of which, improving audio, which is your constant mission, improving audio for liberty, I am using the Lexicon MX200 that you graciously sent me.
Yeah, man. You're sounding better. You're sounding beefier and more consistent in your dynamics.
Yes. Well, and, you know, I had got the Alesis Multimixer 8, which is a USB mixer, and I had fooled around with that for a while, and, I had mixed results, but now that...
Mixed results. Is that a joke?
Yes.
Your mixer had mixed results.
It did. And, I've been fooling around with this for the last week in preparation for the show, and also for when I do my podcast, and... I really like this setup. You can do a lot with it. I was watching the video that you posted in your Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting. You linked a video in there on how to do a mix minus. And that's going to come in handy. I really like that. How you can do different inputs into your mixer and then back through to your computer. So you can have like a soundboard. You can have a Skype call and they can hear everything. That was one of the big problems. Yeah,
without sending it back to the source. Like to explain a mix minus, the easiest way I can do it is, okay, if you have a band on stage and you have the speakers going out to the front that the audience is hearing, but you've also got the monitor speakers that the band listens to themselves on that point back at them, you know, those wedge things on the front of the stage. A lot of times, different people in the band will want a different mix, and it's kind of like that. It's sending different mixes to different places, and we're using two mix minuses, one for the Skype that you're coming to my mixer over, and one that we're using with the signal we're sending back to the network, because the network is sending us the music cues. You know, they fire at a certain time according to an atomic clock, and if we didn't have a mix minus, we'd be sending the music back to the network and it would be a little bit off and it would be echoing. So a mix minus prevents that. And Obama is a socialist and a liar and his feet stink.
Ha! He is. Yeah, and it's good too because like when you're doing podcast or even an interview, when you have a mix minus, the Skype caller can hear everything and they don't hear the echo of themselves. I did a show last week and I'm very curious as to how they were set up, because I would periodically hear an echo of myself. It was wicked annoying. It driving me crazy. And I'm wondering if they had their mix minus set up right.
Well, the problem with a lot of media production now that it's in the hands of amateurs, which is a great thing. You know, the digital revolution has led to where everybody can make audio and video. When I was a kid, I'm 50, and when I was a kid, you know, there weren't even camcorders. There were eight millimeter film cameras, and if you wanted to film your family picnic, you had to film it with a film movie camera or with, you know, slide camera, and take the film to the drugstore and pay for it and get it developed and get it back the next week if you're lucky. And
I remember those days.
And you know, you could pay a bunch of money back then and buy a reel to reel tape recorder. But to record something well, you know, multi-track, for instance, you know, a whole band one at a time or a few at a time with overdubs, you had to pay money and go into a studio where an engineer who really knew what he was doing had, you know, $250,000 worth of gear. And it was generally between, you know, $50 and $500 an hour, depending on the studio you were in. And I did that with bands. And, you know, digital cameras came out and changed that. Digital video cameras, the resolution got better. And so basically most people in Western countries now have a computer or access to one and have, you know, a way to record something, even if it's just with the mic that's on their computer or on their iPad or on their cell phone. But the thing is, everybody's making media now. And back then when I was a kid, most media was made was pretty high quality. Like the subject matter wasn't always good. Sometimes a lot, it was often stupid, but, it was usually being handled by technicians who were trained in what they were doing. And now people just buy a video camera or they buy some microphones and plug them into their computer and they don't have any training at all. And they make stuff that's of really bad quality. It has issues usually. And the thing is, you don't really need, it's not rocket science. You don't need to be technically trained very deeply to get decent audio or decent video quality. But most people don't learn anything. They just plug it in and think the equipment does the work, and that's not true.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned over the years, I've always been into audio and video. You know, that's why we talk about this stuff a lot on the show. I had the benefit coming into media production with a lot of this technology. You know, I started about, 10 years ago, mixing music and doing amateur video. And I remember I did, a video contest. I think it was Nine Inch Nails when they released Ghosts, or an instrumental album. They basically said, hey, here's the multi-tracks to all the songs and make some videos and mix the music and submit it. And I experimented with that, and I did a few videos and mixes and submitted it. And it was really cool because a lot of the people in that community would give you, they wouldn't just say, hey, this video sucks. You know, they'd be like, well, this is all right, but you know, you should have done this and you should have done that. And it was a really good learning experience.
Cool.
And then, you know, obviously meeting you and with your quest to improve media, you've given me some references to look at. And I really think that it's not that hard to learn if you put a little extra time in. You're right, though, that you can't go into it with the attitude that the equipment's going to do everything for you, because it's not. I don't care how good the equipment is. If you don't have a little bit of background and you don't do a little bit of research, you know, your product's not going to be quite as good.
Yeah, my goal is not only to improve my audio or my co-host's audio, but to improve all of the audio quality of people making Liberty Media. Because one thing I know from experience is that people, even people who can't consciously recognize and describe good audio and say, wow, that audio is really good. If all things are the same, like let's say you post a video on YouTube, if it gets 10,000 hits, if it has really good audio, it's going to get 20,000 hits or 15,000 hits or 25,000 hits. The same thing with the podcast. If it sounds okay, you know, it's going to get a certain amount of listens. If it sounds really good, but has the same program material and the same people talking, it's going to get shared more. People intuitively, without knowing why, like stuff better if it's got good audio quality and good video quality. If good video quality is actually less important than good audio quality.
I agree.
I think that's partially because kind of like grunge audio kind of became a thing because of MTV. You know, like big industry trying to look not so slick and trying to look street and get accepted as kind of like alternative media when it really wasn't. So they did a lot of things like handheld camera, kind of shaky camera work, kind of like degraded, sepia toned, you know, even like people with a big budget shooting stuff on like low res video and including it in something else that had high res video just to kind of make it look different and shooting from weird angles. And so that kind of became the norm in the early 80s. And I think you cannot underestimate how much that influenced everything else. Like that kind of handheld, shaky, what I call grunge camera work kind of influenced Hollywood a lot and commercials a lot. So people became very accepting of audio, of video that was kind of weird looking, but never so with audio quality. Like audio quality that's bad hurts people's ears, or they just don't want to listen to it, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's...
Which is kind of weird because we're going to talk later about how the equipment to view video has gotten better and better and better, and we're still stuck in 1996 with MP3 quality.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us. Freedom Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical extravaganza from freedomfiends.com. It is a talk radio show. It's syndicated on some radio stations. It's also available later as a podcast at freedomfiends.com. That's Freedom Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra Fiends, which is kind of it's youth speak for fiend. We are fiends. Fiends for freedom. So Chandler, you want to talk a little more about a lot more about media production. What you got, brother?
Well, so we were talking about how people have gotten used to the grungy, shaky video look.
Yeah.
And that's totally true. And it's become a style all of it, its own. But you are right when you say that when the media comes in distorted, people just tune out. I know one of the things that always bugged me with the advent of Ustream and citizen activism, recording everything. I don't so much mind the low video bitrate and the lag. What's really important to me is to hear what people are saying and what's going on. And when it's, you know, wind blowing and crunchy sound and the audio has all kinds of artifacts. I don't know how to explain artifacts. Maybe you could.
It's unintentional distortion in audio or video.
Yeah, you know, it sounds kind of wishy-washy.
An example, and for older people who remember broadcast TV, an example of a video artifact in TV would be the kind of snow that you get in the picture when the signal's not too strong or you're too far away from the station.
Yeah, when your rabbit ears aren't working right.
Yeah, and with audio, you know, artifacting in audio would be a lot of times with streaming spoken talk that's not encoded well and streamed over a particularly low bit rate, or especially if it's an MP3 made from an MP3.
It sounds kind of like this.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Good example. It sounds kind of like there's whispering robots under the talking.
Yeah. So
that's nice. What effect did you use there? What was the setting?
That's one that I custom made. It's a vibrato and a flanger.
Do it again.
Yeah.
It sounds very weird. You know, it's kind of that echoey artifact sound.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So imagine that much quieter under talking, kind of like mirroring the talking. That would be an example of an audio artifact.
Yeah. So that's always been the thing that's turned me off with that sort of media, especially like when you have, you know, citizens filming cops or anything like that. What's being said is very important. And if you can't understand it, it kind of takes away from the whole purpose of recording.
Yeah, and I would give a little more understand. Like I would give more. I'm more forgiving if it's something that's recorded of a breaking news event or of a cop stop, where cops hassling somebody. You know, you don't have time to set it up. Although, having done practice video with the same device, cell phone or camera, ahead of time, will improve that. You'll learn what works and what doesn't. But, you know, for instance, the cell phone video of Saddam Hussein being hanged was like the worst crappy, you know, low res dark room video ever. But TV stations played it because it was the only video of it, you know, so it was useful as a historical document. But the thing that really bugs me, and I think there's a lot of room for improvement in this, is people making media regularly in their home when there's no police gun to their head and there's no hurry. A really good example is there's a lot of stuff coming out now that people call podcasts that really isn't a podcast, done over Google Hangouts. Hangouts is this way to open up several people sharing video and audio together. And we actually have a joke about it in our Libertarians Against Humanity card game, which we'll get to later. You know, where there's like, first of all, it's people don't plan it very well, and it's not very compelling, and it's just a bunch of neckbeards hanging out, yammering in their, you know, mother's basement or whatever. But, I mean, really simple things you can do to improve activist media or homemade media to get closer to the quality of the mainstream media. Because the whole thing I'm getting at with all this is that no one's ever going to take Liberty Media seriously until it sounds and looks better than it does. And it doesn't cost much more or any more money to do that. The easiest thing that people can do, other than getting a good mic, and I have some recommendations for that. If you go to freedomfiends.com, there's one on the right sidebar. There's a link to one. It's $50 and sounds great. The best thing people can do is just get the mic closer to their mouth, man. When they're 2 feet away from it, it's not going to sound that good. You're going to pick up your room noise.
Yeah, mic technique.
Yeah. Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms. Why do we say worms? What does worms mean?
Worms is a reference to the old term word, which
word.
Means truth. I hear ya.
Yeah. But with the fiends, it's kind of like aloha, because it means truth. I agree with you. You speak the truth, brother. But it also means hello and goodbye.
And everything in between.
It's the universal fiend word. So, you know, the fiend show's a little different. I mean, we're not a cult or anything, but we have our own terminology and ideology. Our ideology is not unique to us. It's basically the idea that you shouldn't have to have people tell you what to do. And most people are smart enough to rule themselves. And those who wouldn't, in the absence of rulers and enforcement arms of governments, the people who aren't smart enough to rule themselves would probably just be slaughtered robbing somebody.
Yeah, see, our message isn't unique, but the way we present it is. You know, we have computers and good sound and good equipment and cats and guns and vapes.
Cats and guns and vapes, yeah, we like that stuff. Yeah. But we're peace-loving guys with guns, but guns, don't leave home without them, man. And so if anyone's tuning in for the first time and they're like, wait, there's usually people on this station talking about how horrible Obama is, and these guys are talking about microphones. What's going on? Well, we will say that Obama is horrible and he wants you dead or in a cage, but that's really all we need to say about that, because we'd rather empower you, the listener, by giving you knowledge of how to start your own radio show rather than just listen to what we have to say, which I think makes us a little unique in the liberty movement. I mean, there are people like Ian Freeman who are very helpful. You know, if you're a liberty person and you ask him a question, he will take time out of his extraordinarily busy day to tell you how to do something, but he doesn't have time, or he doesn't like make 90-minute videos on how to do it. Actually, I think he did once, but the one he has is really outdated. So I've picked up that torch and started making them. But part of the whole Freedom Fiends ethic is working really hard to make easily accessible information on how to do what we're doing, because the Freedom Fiends are kind of a teaching hospital for the next generation of liberty media people. And we do take donations. I'm going to start saying this once per show or once per hour. Go to the Freedom Fiends site at freedomfiends.com if you like the show, and consider making a donation one time or recurring, either by PayPal or Bitcoin. You click on the spinning coin on each page, and I do put the money back into the show. We barely make money at this. We don't even hustle to sell ads. We generally give our ad space to friends of ours who run equally important, in our mind, liberty organizations like antiwar.com, Free Ross, Shiny Badges Causes tab, the rats-nosnitch.com free book on recognizing people who want to throw you in a cage, things like that. We want to keep you free. Catmuff, the political action ad that we have, which is basically don't take any political action because you're just encouraging them. But we also just love talking about audio production. And Chandler and I, when Chandler's on with me, you can pretty much count that we're going to be talking about audio production. So what do you want to say about audio production?
Well, a couple of things. First off, we here at the Freedom Fiends actually walk our libertarian talk, because like you said, we give you tips to start your own show. We believe in competition. You know, that
I want to be put out of business. The whole reason I'm doing this, all this teaching hospital stuff, is there will be a time when I'm not around to do this show, and I'm not just thinking selfishly of me. I'm thinking of the Liberty mission and getting as many people on the earth to hear the ideas of true liberty. And I don't want to be the center of attention on it. I don't want to be the rock star of it. I don't believe in the great man theory. I want to train as many people as possible to do what we're doing, so, you know, they can start their own shows or make movies with better sound or do anything better to spread liberty to the, and also we have 12 co-hosts and myself. This is my show. I started it with another guy named Nima Vidati, who left to go be a daddy and make babies and didn't have time to do this anymore because he's working 3 jobs and raising a kid and being a husband. So I want to train, you know, right now we have 12 co-hosts. I think we're in the process of adding a couple more. And what I want to do is train these people to A, go start their own shows, B, be able to train other people to start their own shows, and C, there will come a time when, for one reason or another, I can't do this show constantly. Either I'm in jail or I've been thrown in Gitmo or, you know, jail. I'm not a criminal. Just, you know, they throw people in jail for stuff that shouldn't be illegal, like free speech. And you know, I'm getting up there. I'm 50. You know, my brain might start going. And there might come a time when I don't have enough clear moments in the week to come on here more than but 1 hour a week. And you guys can just do the show and I'll just say, I'm coming on the show tonight to tell my opinions on things. And you guys will be like, oh, he started the show. We have to let him on. Okay.
Yep.
So go on.
Yeah. So, you know, market competition. So getting back to the whole,
I like listening to Liberty shows too, and most of them aren't very good. And some of the ones that are very good don't sound very good. So what? It's also a selfish thing in that I want to be able to listen to 24 hours a day of live, good Liberty media.
Yeah. Yeah. And with technology and bandwidth, what it is, there's really not much of an excuse to sound poor bad anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about 1996. But one of the things, I was in Radio Shack the other day, and it was actually quite depressing because Radio Shack now
it is, used to sell stuff to make your own electronics. Now it just sells like what we call chromed robot turds, which are fancy mobile devices for consuming media rather than equipment. I mean, you know, if you go in, I went in there once about 4 years ago and asked him for a 1K resistor. And the kid just looked at me like I was speaking a different language. And then he handed me a cell phone. I'm like, no, that's not a 1K resistor.
Yeah. Well, I went in the other day. I've been in a couple of times recently. I had to get some cables for the FX processor. And then I went in the other day for a ground tester because after watching your video, I noticed I had a hum the other night when I was a guest on a show. And we've been trying to figure out what it is. And this has been a recurring thing. And oddly enough, the hum is not here tonight.
That's knock on wood. It doesn't dare come around when I'm here.
Exactly. But, you know, I needed a ground tester. I was like, okay, you know, my house might have a few issues. And it wouldn't be a bad idea, seeing as how I have 2 computers, 3 monitors, a mixer, and a fixed processor, a printer, a couple of portable hard drives. I have a lot of stuff, you know, running through these 2 outlets in this room. So I went and I said, hey, you know, I need a ground tester. And the guy was like,
You got to order that stuff online. People don't sell it in stores anymore. Although, you know, a Walmart would have it.
Okay, here we go. Because I found one. And it was like 13, 14 bucks.
Yeah, they're like 7 most places.
Yeah, well, and the guy was like, he's like, well, you can get it on Amazon, but then you're supporting China. And I was like, yeah, well, I go with
the cheapest
price. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, whatever.
You know, that's a whole nother conversation of if you want to buy locally. The reason most stuff isn't made in America anymore, that's the government's fault and it's the union's fault.
Yep, it is. So I went to Walmart anyway and got it for $5, which worked. And my grounds are all good. You know, I'm glad.
Do you have a do you have a cordless phone?
No.
Cordless phones. I'm not talking about cell phones. I'm talking about a landline.
Yes,
with a cordless phone. You know, phone that you can walk around the house with. Those wreak havoc with all sorts of electronic gear. If I have mine too close to my speaker, this is kind of funny. I hear like the local 50,000 watt AM radio station over my speakers, like the speaker wires become an antenna and transmit to the computer speakers.
Yeah, I've had that issue too. I'm still ruling out what it could be, but I think I've narrowed it down. I have multiple headsets, and my best headset is a gaming headset. It's a 7.1 surround gaming headset, and it's really huge. You know, you've seen it.
Is it Bluetooth? Big... Bluetooth can interfere with things.
Nope, not Bluetooth. Although I do have a Bluetooth trackpad sitting right next to my mixer, so that could be it.
Yeah, anything that transmits a radio frequency is going to mess with electronics sometimes that aren't made to pick up the radio frequency by design.
Right. So I'm getting sidetracked. Anyway, I went in there, and Radio Shack was very depressing because the section of DIY electronics and audio stuff has just gotten smaller and smaller over the
years. Yeah, it's like one shelf in the back room now.
Exactly. That's what it was. But I did notice this really cool piece of equipment, and it's a small square microphone that plugs into the top.
Oh, I've seen that into an iPhone.
Android, iPod, whatever. Even it comes with a little windscreen.
Yep.
And I was reading some reviews. There's a few different kinds. And one of them, I don't remember the site, they did tests. And it works really well. And it's something you can keep in your pocket.
I saw those tests. One's like someone playing an acoustic guitar. One is two women talking in a cafe. That one, it's a video.
No, this one was a little bit different. But
What's the mic called? Let's actually be useful to the listener. What's the mic called? Okay, you're not.
I want to say
I something.
iHome maybe. I'm not sure. Just go to Radio Shack. They only had one there, but there's a few different. If you go on Amazon, you can find a few different ones, and you just read the reviews. That's another beautiful thing about Amazon.
Well, but, also not just reviews, but when I'm buying a piece of audio or video equipment, I usually search the name of it on YouTube, and it's kind of confusing though because people like to do unboxing videos, which is really stupid, and it's just showing off your bling, your mass-produced bling that you bought, and making yourself feel like you're special because you picked out the same thing that millions of other people did. But occasionally you can find a review on Amazon where they actually use the device.
Right.
And that could be really useful. Or not on Amazon, on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this thing costs from $20 to $50, depending on which one you get. So another inexpensive piece of gear. Things that come to mind, like I know Derek J loves to go out and film stuff with his cell phone, you know, so you get something like that, pop it on your cell phone, and you've got good audio.
Yeah.
Better audio.
Yeah. We're going to look up the name of that thing before we get back so we can help you get better.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. So, Chandler St. Pierre and I am Michael Dean, and we are talking about audio production for improving homemade media so you can compete with the big boys. Because when you have an idea that's bizarre to people, like the idea that taxation is theft, most people don't agree with that. Even people who think that there should be really small government and they don't like most taxes and think taxes should be lower, they still don't generally grok the idea that taxes are, you know, collected at the barrel of a gun. Because if you don't pay them, they'll come arrest you. And if you resist that, they'll put a gun to your head. So literally, they're collected by a threat of murder, of murdering you. So when you're presenting true facts like that, that are totally bizarre to the average person, you're already stacked up against so much that if your audio and video isn't really good, they're not even going to hear it. So it's important that people presenting brave thoughts like, hey, maybe we don't need to pick one leader over the other because they all want us dead and we shouldn't even support the whole organization and the idea of it. You know, you got to have better audio. So also, I'm trying to teach people how to do better radio. And I was pointing out to Chandler that, and this is a teaching hospital, they generally say on radio, if you make a mistake, never point it out. We always point it out. Oh, I made a mistake yesterday. I called the White Mountains of New Hampshire the White Hills. My wife was listening to the show and she said, that's a very Wyoming, Freudian slip. Like, those aren't mountains. Those are hills. But, Porkfest happens in the White Mountains, not the White Hills. And Chandler made a mistake of saying, yeah, this, he told this story about this great mic he saw at Radio Shack and couldn't remember the name of it. And that's completely useless to the radio audience. And we looked it up. It's called the iRig. I, capital R, small I-G. It's $27 on Amazon.
It's called the iRig Miccast. There's two different kinds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because one looks like a regular mic like we're using.
Yes.
But, you know, either of them can plug into your Android or iPhone and record better audio than you can just using the built-in mic. Yep.
Yep. So quick little tips like that. You know, if you're going to be a cell phone activist, that's a great investment.
I do also want to say that a lot of conservatives who say that they're small government people really aren't. A good example is in Wyoming. The state senators here, both of them, I mean, the state senator here and the two, I forget, we have one of one and every state has two of the other and we have one of one because we're so small here, but they all want to, add a tax on the internet. Basically they're saying like, we want to help local businesses and keep people from undercutting them on the internet. First of all, that's a tariff. You know, tariffs are international, but that's a local tariff. The thing is, there's no sales tax across state lines. Like if you order something through the mail from another state, there has never been, and there is no sales tax. That's part of the beauty of it. Sales tax is only collected within a state. But there's a lot of representatives, including some so-called small government conservatives, that want to add a tariff, you know, a tax to anything you buy on the internet. And the thing is, most of the things that I buy on the internet, you cannot buy in my state. Because most of the things I buy are like broadcast audio stuff. And there's such a low demand in a state that only has a 500,000 people for that, a rural state, that there's nobody that sells that stuff. Like when I look online and I'm going to buy, you know, a microphone preamp or something, sometimes just as for kicks, before I order it on the internet, I will try to see if I can buy locally and support local merchants, and I'll click on the enter your zip code and find the nearest place to buy it. And invariably the nearest place to buy it is Denver at the closest, you know, in a different state already. So I'm not going to drive 6 hours, 5 hours to go buy it. I can just order it on the internet. So,
well, I'll tell you one of the things that I found, just getting cables and a few other things for the effects processor you sent me, I could get it locally, but it was much much more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I want it now, so I balance that between, do I want to get it right now because I want it, or do I want to pay less? And I usually have to go with less.
Yeah, I go with less, too. And, you know, I like to support the mom-and-pop businesses when I can, but they often don't have what I want or don't have it at a competitive price. And I'm not going to pay more just to, support a business model that's kind of going the wayside. And, you know, people can't do the same kind of business forever when the times change. It's part of the world we live in. Sad to say, but it's part of the beauty of trade, man, of the free market.
Innovation.
We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
The free market.
And some news about tyranny.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, you're scaring me there, Channel. Those are some scary noises. All right, this is the Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. And good morning, Sundance. And good morning, Belle Fouche, South Dakota and Wyoming. Wyoming and South Dakota, respectively. Who join us for the second hour and replay us from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. So literally, that's drive time up there. Because people really work for a living up there. And not that they don't on other stations, but, you know, that's oil country. And people are getting up early in farm country, and people are getting up early, and they get to hear us as the sun comes up. They probably hear the last bit of our show. So, Chandler, we're talking, in the first segment, we're talking about improving audio quality for Liberty Media. So when you get on your podcast or radio show and talk about how Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, it sounds pretty much as good as mainstream media, because if you're talking about weird stuff that people don't get, that we know is true, like that taxes are theft, you got to have good audio where people can dismiss it easier. They'll dismiss it anyway, but it'll be harder to dismiss if it sounds good. And I do have a website devoted to audio tips, and it's free to go to this site. It's creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com. And the website for our show, The Freedom Fiends, is freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, November, Sierra.com. If you are a ham radio operator or military personnel, you will know the NATO alphanumeric alphabet, whatever it's called. I know it. I just don't know what it's called. Do you know it, Chandler?
No.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to a little segment that we've been doing regularly. It's Libertarians Against Humanity Solitaire, although we're going to play it with two people. So there's this game called Cards Against Humanity, where you have a deck of cards with weird words on them, and you match them up and say stuff out loud if it's funny, and whoever gets the funniest thing wins and gets to hand out the cards for the next round. It's kind of a drinking game. I don't drink, but I like drinking games. So my friend Jim made a version of it called Libertarians Against Humanity, which was kind of libertarian in jokes. And he made a card deck of it. And then I made a solitaire website version of it at freedomfiends.com slash LOL, as in laugh out loud, where you just press a button and it just takes one from column A from a list and puts it with randomly with one from column B, and hilarity ensues. And we're going to play this game, but we're going to explain each concept so you can kind of get indoctrinated. No, so you can get up to speed on the concepts that we discuss on the Freedom Fiends, because we're on some new stations this week. And yay, I like that. And we're not your grandpa's talk radio. We got some different ideas. So this is a good way to introduce you to the ideas of liberty. So Chandler's going to read them off, and then he's going to hit the play button at freedomfiends.com/LOL and read the results. And we're going to explain the weird concepts and why you should think this is funny. So
for some of them anyway.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
So we can eliminate the government with distributed and decentralized. Am I being detained?
There's like three concepts there to explain. Which one do you want to pick?
I like the am I being detained.
Okay, explain am I being detained.
Well, a lot of times when you're confronted by police officers for no reason.
Because they used to exist supposedly to protect people, and they used to do more of that to protect and serve. And now they pretty much do revenue generation, which involves trying to find a reason to throw you in a cage, even if you're an honest, law-abiding person. So they fish. They ask you questions that really are none of their business, that you really don't have to answer. And we're not sovereign citizens. We don't believe there are magic words you can use in court. Pretty much the only magic words you can use are I want to keep my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. That's after you've been arrested, or before, leading up to an arrest. Sometimes you can avoid arrest with no, you can't search my car, and am I being detained? Am I free to leave? And this is not legal advice, but we do have two episodes. We have a co-host who's an attorney who explained all this. So if you go to freedomfiends.com and search the last episodes that Randy England Esquire did on the Freedom Fiends, he explained it all.
Yeah, those were great.
Yep. So basically, the thing is, most people who are not criminals, who don't break any laws, are absolutely willing to do anything a cop asks them to do, whether the cop's being really polite and sounding like their friend or being really aggressive and sounding like he's going to arrest you.
And I tend to be polite and respectful, but I also assert my rights.
Did I over-explain that? Did I take away your thunder?
No.
You got more? I mean, we could talk about am I being detained all day.
No, I think you've got it good.
Well, I will say that it's kind of a subject line that comes up a lot in libertarian discussions.
Well, I just like the joke, you know, the meme that's going on Facebook with the picture of the chicken crossing the road. And it said, why did the chicken cross the road? None of your business. Am I being detained?
Yeah, yeah. So what's the rest of this whole meme? Because there were three concepts to explain in this one.
All right. So we can eliminate the government with distributed and decentralized. Now that you could do a whole show on.
Well, let's go with the you could eliminate the government by. Why is that something that is there are a lot of things that libertarians say of you could eliminate the government by blank. Why is that a thing that comes up?
Well, I guess it depends on your perspective, whether you're a small government minarchist, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to conservative talk radio are, or you're a full-out libertarian. And we're not talking about Libertarian Party.
Guys are square, man.
True libertarian principles. And, you know, it just goes along with the belief that the free market, innovation, non-coercive, voluntarist actions can eliminate the need for the services, so-called, that government provides. I mean, a great example.
Police.
Yeah, police. You've got, in Detroit, private security firms rising up everywhere, providing the service far more effectively than local police do. And another one that I really liked that Derek and Nick talked about on the show the other night was the Breadbasket Brigade, or what did they call it now? Something.
Yeah. Shire Sharing.
Shire Sharing, yeah. Where instead of welfare, these people voluntarily got together and put together Thanksgiving baskets for those less fortunate. And they even tailored and customized them to the families that they were giving them to.
Yeah, and a lot of churches do the same thing. Yep. And it's a good thing to do, man. I like charity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a program in one of the local towns I work in that it's a universalist church, I guess. And they do.
I don't know what that is, but go on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of the denominations. They're very open-minded. And
I think it's all the denominations at once.
Yeah, yeah. They seem like really cool cats. Okay. And they do an evening sandwich program. You know, and I work with individuals with mental illness and developmental disabilities. And a lot of times these people are low income and don't have a lot. And I'll take them to this place. It's called the Evening Sandwich Program. And, you know, they'll give you a couple of sandwiches, a can of soup, sometimes little milk cartons, fruits, vegetables. They have desserts. Sometimes it, you know, depends. I mean, sometimes you walk in, they even have like clothes, everything. And it's all free. It's charity. It's voluntary stuff that people have donated. I mean, they have a garden and some of the fruits and vegetables come right from their garden. And it's not mandated, regulated, or controlled by the government. It's all voluntary to help people. And I think in the absence of that coercive nature of government and in the absence of taxes and regulation, you'd see much, much more of that voluntary.
Yeah, and government help gets in the way of that more and more. They're showing their true colors. I mean, every once in a while we see more and more we see news items about places like that that are, you know, giving of themselves, and people are donating things and time and money and effort and food. And then the government comes in and says, you don't have a license to do this. And they take, you know, 2,000 pounds of venison and pour it into a dumpster and then like pour bleach on it so no one can eat it.
Well, what about the guy that was importing ginseng, which is not a controlled substance?
Yeah.
And he didn't have the proper documentation or whatever it was, and they destroyed his whole crop. And ginseng is a very valuable herb.
That's another reason you should never, or it is recommended by a lot of libertarians to never let the police into your car voluntarily and say, am I being detained? Am I free to leave? Because cops will try, a lot of cops, not all of them, but more and more, they will try to do revenue generation where they will try to, they will find someone who's completely law-abiding and try to find something to arrest them for or to, you know, to fine them for.
Well, and let's face facts. I mean, when I was on with Derek J. a couple of weeks ago, we talked about like how local police departments are hiring people to become cops that are less intelligent.
Oh, yeah. There was somebody who actually tried to become a police officer and was not and sued them. I don't know if he won or not, but he sued because he was denied being a police officer because he scored too high on an intelligence test. That is really telling right there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if you have a high intelligence, you can think for yourself and you have somewhat of a moral compass, you're probably not going to get a job.
Basically, they want robots.
Yep, they do. And pretty soon they're going to have, they'll have robots. Just robots. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so cool. We didn't cover the third part of that one, decentralized and distributed. What does that mean?
Well, I think that kind of goes along with what we were talking about because the idea of government, no matter if it's a republic or communism or dictatorship, it's all centralized. It's all central planning. And when you decentralize, you remove that one-size-fits-all central planning mentality, and you can provide more efficient and better services and deliver them in a more timely fashion. I mean, one of the biggest complaints, even if you're a minarchist, okay, and you think that, you know, smallest government possible, and you talk about, well, I guess we won't remove welfare completely because there are some people in need. Think about how much waste and bureaucracy there is. Yeah. How much that bureaucracy and waste takes away from the people that it's actually intending to help.
Yeah, and when things are decentralized and distributed, whether it's on a computer network or, you know, with individuals in their homes, there's not a single point of failure. It's harder to make something go away.
Exactly.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends, worming our way into your brain in the middle of the night when good people are asleep. What are you doing awake? Nah, it's not.
So what does that make us?
We're not bad people, and our listeners are not bad people. They just they don't like society's rules and when they should be asleep. They sleep when they want, man. They're rebels.
Exactly.
They're mavericks. So are we. I don't know. I think if you have to say you're a maverick, you're not. So I'm not going to say we're mavericks, but I'm saying our listeners, anybody who's up this late listening to radio, probably thinks a little differently, and that's why the Freedom Fiends might be a good brainworm for them.
I just want to say I have a kitten on my lap.
Aw. And you're a manly man, so you can say that.
Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about that earlier. You know, we're talking about audio gear and computers and all that, and people must think, yeah, this guy's like real tech geek. And it's true. I am a tech geek. But do you know what I spent the majority of last week and my whole weekend doing?
Being a single dad?
That too.
I have great respect for that. That's why I bring it up. But Chandler could probably beat you up. Whoever you are listening, I've hung out with Chandler, and he is a big strapping dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he could beat you up. Someone might take you up on that. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to find you and challenge
you. I'm going to find you and come get you. No, but you know, I live in Maine, and it's fall, and it's winter's coming. It's gotten considerably colder. So I've spent the majority of the week driving around. I borrowed my uncle's truck, and I've been driving around cutting trees down, cutting logs up, splitting them, and stacking them. Now, nice. I got to say, you know, cutting trees down, like especially I look for dead stuff on public land, which is free wood, and I've got quite a bit actually. That's great, you know, cutting up the logs, throwing them in the truck, bringing them home, splitting them. But stacking wood sucks. Oh my God, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Is it, is that legal to do that?
Yeah, and I've a couple of places I've actually called. But you know what's interesting? I was driving home from work Saturday, and I talked to this guy. I said, hey, I've noticed a lot of posted signs. Do you know who owns all this land? He told me. He's like, yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. His dad owns it. Now his son's taking over, yada, yada, yada. So I went up to the guy, and I said, hey, you know, do you mind if I cut some dead fallen trees on the side of the road? And he's like, yep, just don't go into the woodlot. All right, cool. Thank you.
Cool.
So I'm cutting up some wood, and this guy comes out, and he's next door, and I said, yeah, how you doing? I said, I got so-and-so's permission to cut this wood. And he's like, oh, cool. He's like, well, if you're that ambitious, he said, I cut down a bunch of trees in my yard to clear from the power lines that run to my house. He's like, if you want to cut them up and take them home, they're yours.
Nice.
Yeah. So he let me cut up like a ton of wood that he had cut down. So, you know, and it's funny too, because I can only get a truck on the weekends when I borrow my uncle's. So I'm driving around in a little Toyota Corolla and my back seat is like filled to the top with 4-foot logs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So I bring them home, cut them and split them and make my kid help me stack them because that's the least favorite. But, you know, the other day I was down there splitting. I have an electric splitter, so I just throw all the logs in my basement and start splitting, and I just put on the Freedom Fiends and listened to caught up on my podcast. I listened to two whole shows while I was splitting and stacking the wood. It was great.
Cool, man. So you're a manly man with a kitten on your lap.
Yep.
What's the next thing here on our Libertarians Against Humanity explaining the basics of liberty to people game?
So I left my girlfriend because she did not agree with me about jury nullification.
That kind of plays on two things. Jury nullification is basically This is not legal in all states, and it's only definitely legal in New Hampshire in certain cases. But jury nullification is the idea of if you're on a jury judging the law as well as whether the person broke it or not. I would recommend that you search jury nullification on Wikipedia to get more, because we could do
that. Yeah, you can go to Fiji.org, right?
Fiji.org. Although Ian Freeman pointed out today that Fiji.org, he doesn't support them as much anymore because they kind of threw one of their best activists under the bus. It's a long story, but Fiji.org explains it pretty well. So I would say go there. And I guess the other half of that is I left my girlfriend because I've actually heard of people, you know, leaving someone they love because they have vast differences in political ideology. And it sounds bizarre and cruel to people, but I can basically see how if someone became a libertarian after being with somebody, it might be really hard to stay with somebody who is still vastly advocating for government. Fortunately, well, my wife went along for the journey with me too. And she really believes it in her heart of hearts that we don't need rulers, and that picking one millionaire over another who are both saying they love the common man more is just a recipe for disaster. So we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
And yes, on the Freedom Fiends, Chandler did clear his throat, and that's bad radio. And on most radio, you never point out your mistakes. But on the Freedom Fiends, we're trying to teach the next generation, so I always point out mistakes.
Chandler, okay, wait a minute here. I am all hooked up with the new mixer, and I have the knob where I can just go, hear me. So I don't remember clearing my throat without hitting that knob.
Well, you did.
Oh, terrible, terrible.
You have to put one Satoshi in the cough jar.
I'll get on that.
All right, so what's the next Libertarians Against Humanity that came up?
A post-scarcity utopia could be achieved now that we have a bogus DMCA claim.
That's funny. Do you want to touch either of those, or you said that's all me?
That's all you.
Okay, post-scarcity utopia is a concept by something called the Zeitgeist Movement, which are not libertarians, although they like to argue a lot with libertarians because they also wish there were no government. But instead of replacing the government with the free market, which is basically people, they want to replace the government with a giant supercomputer that makes all the decisions for everybody, which sounds almost more horrifying than the government to me.
Yeah, it does.
And of a bogus DMCA claim, DMCA is Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and it is it's something that was passed in George Bush's tenure, or was it Clinton? I forget. It was one of those.
I think it was Clinton.
One of those tyrants. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. It's basically the idea that it was sort of a workaround for dealing with the internet and trying to make it work with copyright law, which is kind of like saying, you know, let's make jet engines work with Model T Fords, but...
Well, it was a reaction to sites like Napster and all that when the advent of internet sharing really started to take hold.
Yeah, and basically Bill Clinton decided, this was an actual decision made by the White House, by Clinton and his advisors. They decided that America was no longer going to be a manufacturing company, and all of the jobs were going to be shipped overseas, all the manufacturing jobs. And the only thing that the U.S. had that the U.S. could compete in, other than incarcerating more people per capita than any country except maybe North Korea, was intellectual property, you know, was media, was movies, music, computer software. And so they strengthened the copyright, trademark, and patent laws in really bad ways that hurt a lot of people and stifled innovation. And one of the things they did was they made it so any web hosting company like Google or YouTube or, you know, a collaborative blog or your local newspaper website, anything where users can submit content, that the website would not be responsible for somebody posting something else that was copyrighted as long as they took it down as soon as they got a DMCA claim, which is a specific type of legal procedure. And the problem is it can be heavily abused to the point where, like, on YouTube, literally, if you fill out a DMCA claim and say somebody else violated my copyright with their YouTube channel, YouTube will take down your channel without even really checking it out. You know, and you can, I mean, a YouTube channel can be something you've put thousands of hours of work into and that you're making part of your living from. The thing is, though, it's not as easy to just do it randomly. You can't do it anonymously. Basically, you have to do it under penalty of perjury. So you're opening yourself up to prosecution if you file a false one. There's a guy named Stefan Molyneux who makes videos that some libertarians like, but less and less libertarians like him for a bunch of reasons. For a bunch of reasons now. And one is because he had his business partner file a DMCA claim, or his business partner filed a DMCA claim against a channel on YouTube called True Shibes, which was just criticism. I mean, it was taking excerpts of his videos and then putting text on them and saying, this is hypocritical. And he would, you know, True Shives would show things back and forth of, you know, for instance, Molyneux saying, you should never scream at people. It's very disrespectful. And then 10 minutes later in the same video, he's screaming at a caller, things like that. And, you know, he had it taken down and said it was copyright infringement, but it really wasn't. It probably fell under fair use. I can't determine that. A judge would have to determine that. But, you know, if it ever got to that. But it seemed like fair use to most people. And so a false DMCA, a bogus DMCA claim has become a kind of running joke in Liberty of like, yeah, somebody did that, actually. And it's somebody who has... This guy has been adamantly opposed to intellectual property law in general. And then he used intellectual property law and probably used it wrong, you know, like claimed something that probably wasn't what they were claiming it was. So that's the explanation of that one.
Well, to boil it down, it's using government guns to control the distribution of media.
Yeah. And in this case, it was using government guns to silence a critic.
Yes.
And that really got a lot of people's hackles up too. You know, basically, here's the thing. If your message is strong enough and true enough, you should be able to weather criticism. I mean, that's basically what the First Amendment was about. And even beyond that, just the idea of free speech is, you know, I mean, you shouldn't be able to say things that are untrue about people. Like, you know, you don't just say, oh, he beats his wife if he doesn't, you know, or he.
Well, that's why we have laws like defamation.
Yeah, slander and defamation. But there's nothing like that going on here. It was basically just, you know, criticism that seemed, you know, to me apt and to a lot of people. And the guy took it down with a DMCA claim. So next, what's the next one?
The next one I really like. Derek J was recently arrested for having bulk freeze-dried food for the impending economic collapse.
Derek J is a co-host on the Freedom Fiends. He's also a co-host on Free Talk Live on Mondays. He's on Freedom Fiends Sunday night going into Monday morning, and then and 12 hours later or so, he's on Free Talk Live, and then he does a couple of his own shows. Participate. I can't even list them all. There's so many of them. I'll just say go to DerekJFreeman.com, yep. And you can see all his stuff. He gets arrested a lot, but he's not a bad guy. He gets arrested a lot for civil disobedience, for like, if you tell Derek J, you can't stand on this spot and have free speech, Derek J will go out of his way to stand on that spot and have free speech, and he'll film it and put it on YouTube.
Right, and he had the documentary Victimless Crime Spree, which basically was just documenting all of that.
Yeah, go to victimlesscrimespree.com or Google Victimless Crime Spree.
You can
watch that whole movie for free on YouTube, or you can buy a copy of it, or you can pirate it. He lets you pirate it, like we let people pirate our stuff too, man. As long as you credit us for it, we don't care if you.
I'm nostalgic. I actually picked up a copy from him at Pork Fest just because I like to have the actual. You know,
was it a bootleg copy or was it a manufactured copy?
No, it was one of his manufactured copies with the fancy packaging and all that.
Yeah, because I get my stuff manufactured too by the same company. They put it out. We don't pay to do it. They pay to put it out and send us checks. And they actually know that I also bootleg myself. Like I didn't have a bunch of manufactured copies of my movies at Porkfest. So I was giving away. Burned copies of it, burn them on a DVD.
Yeah, I have a burned copy of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and I have an actual copy of Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. Both films, of course.
Yep, good movies, and you can watch both of them entirely on YouTube, and there's links to both of them on the right sidebar on the Freedom Fiends site.
Yeah, a friend of mine recently asked. She had a need to have a discussion with her children about guns and weed, and she said, "Hey, do you still have that copy of Guns and Weed?" And I was like, "Well, I have the digital copy somewhere on my computer." I said, "But hey, it's all on YouTube, or you can find it online. Just go grab it and show it to the kids."
And Freedom Fiends have lapel buttons, and we sell 10 for 10. It's 5 different designs. We sell 10 buttons for $10 postpaid anywhere in America, and you also get a data disc. Which has a good-looking copy of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom,
yep.
Our activist movie. And I don't smoke guns or take weed. No, I have guns, but I do not smoke weed.
Same here.
But it's a movie about basically showing why there's no such thing as half-free. And people who like guns but don't take drugs should still be against the war on drugs for a number of reasons. One, because you're paying for it. You don't want to pay for that intense war on drugs. Secondly, it does more harm than good. Thirdly, if you really believe in freedom, you have to defend people who do things that you don't like. And fourthly, the war on drugs leads to the war on guns. I mean, basically, they're getting those free tanks from the Pentagon. They're practicing illegal search and seizure, and the bar for a judge writing a warrant for a legal search and seizure is going down, down, down to the point where when they outlaw guns or certain types of guns and you still have them and they've legalized pot, which they're going to do in the next election to get Hillary elected because it's time, not because Hillary thinks that there should be less laws, but because, they've done the actuary work to figure out that it's time for a politician to take advantage of rolling back the tyranny to get elected so they can add more tyranny. And they're not going to really legalize it. They're going to heavily regulate it and tax
it. It's a bait and switch is what it is.
Yeah. But all those unemployed DEA agents, they're going to have nothing to do, and they're going to send them out to get your guns, man. So you should be against the war on drugs.
Did I tell you that my daughter, Faith, on her backpack, she has several of the Freedom Fiends buttons you sent me, one of which is Guns and Weed. And I'm like, kid, boy, you're just asking for trouble. She's like, I don't care, Dad. Neither do you.
Is she going to public school?
Oh, yes.
What are you sending your kid to public school for, man? Why don't you homeschool?
If I could, I would. I do homeschool, actually. I mean, honestly.
You unschool. You undo the damage that the public school does of brainwashing her.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Good for you. All right. So did we finish that one? What was the whole one again?
I don't know. Okay. Arrested for storing bulk freeze-dried foods for the pending economic collapse.
Yeah, we don't have to explain that one. Everyone that listens to conservative radio
knows all about it.
Here's the ads for it and probably, you know, does it. I do it. I store food. I don't want to be dependent on the government, even in a natural emergency that only lasts a few days, you know?
Well, I've got a good example of that, too.
When we get back from the free market where you can purchase those things, we'll explain that. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. And the Freedom Fiends is supported by listeners like you. If you like the show, go to freedomfiends.com, click on the spinning coin at the bottom of each page, each post, that is, and see what you can do to help out. No donation too small, and it does go back into spreading our liberty message. So Chandler, we're playing, this is the redemption in the third act, but we're just going to keep playing Cards Against Humanity, Libertarian Version, Libertarians Against Humanity, and explaining the weird results that this game from freedomfiends.com/LOL give us. What do you got next, sir?
According to a Salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into arguing with other libertarians about the nuances of the NAP.
Okay. Do you want to take part of that?
Well, sure. As you've often said, I think that libertarians agree 98.9% of the time. And it's just a small minutia of details that they disagree with.
And they screamed at each other on the internet about that all day.
Yeah, and it seems so ridiculous to me.
I don't do it. I just talk into a microphone in one direction and don't listen to what the world thinks.
Well, yeah, and I'm the same way. I mean, I'll post on the face beefs and the Twitters and all that, and you know, I'll yak on the radio with you. And it's pretty much one way. You know, people can take it or leave it as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
I try to present a coherent argument towards my point of view in a non-confrontational manner, but I believe what I believe, you know, and I'm not going to expend energy arguing.
Yeah, and I would say that when presented with the ideas of true liberty, most people who haven't been exposed to it will ask some questions like, well, how would the roads work? And here's the thing that I found. I think if you explain it to people, and they still have questions, but they don't scream at you, there's a good chance that they are naturally a libertarian at heart and have just been brainwashed by society. And if you give them the real truth about it, they'll open up to it. But there is a subspecies of humans that will defend the government and defend the idea of the state like they're defending their mother. And those are the people you can't win with. Win isn't even the word. You can't help them. You know, it's kind of like they are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, to quote the AA book. And they have the disease of statism. They love the state. They worship the state. It's their god. And you should just walk away. Now, let's explain more of this. Read the whole thing again, please.
According to a Salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into arguing with other libertarians about the nuances of the NAP.
Yeah, to explain more on that, Salon is salon.com, which is a popular leftist website that frequently not only has articles about why conservatives are stupid and why Republicans all hate babies, they have the same kind of articles about libertarians. They lump them all in together. yeah, you coughed on the air, but this is a teaching hospital, so I point that out.
I could have sworn I hit that knob.
No, you got to pull the slider down, man. Pull the fader down and bring it back up, or pull the slider down and bring it back up. So anyway, Salon.com loves to make fun of libertarians, and they use a lot of logical fallacies, but they have good writers writing bad ideas, and they write articles that convince, I wouldn't even say stupid people. I would say narrow-minded people, because a lot of them are educated and probably have above average intelligence quotients, but, are easily swayed by stupid arguments. So, and then the last part of that, arguing about the nuances of the NAP. The NAP is the non-aggression principle, which is basically the main thing that all libertarians agree on, is that it is immoral to aggress on other people, to force them against their will to pay taxes or have their hedge a certain height or, have certain substances or not certain substances. And that's not to say we're pacifists. A lot of us carry guns and would shoot in self-defense if someone were trying to harm us or our families.
The arguments come when you try to define the minutia of what aggression is.
And it's a parlor game that libertarians like to spend a lot of time doing. And I guess it has a purpose for newly minted libertarians. But I think once you've really internalized it, it's in your heart of hearts and you know what to do in any given situation.
Live peacefully, man.
Live peacefully. Walk softly and carry a gun, man.
Yep. Worms. It's
the Freedom Fiends. Thank you, Chandler, for your service.
Thank you, Michael.
Worms.
Have a good evening,
everyone. We'll be back
tomorrow
night with Bill Buepert from ZeroGov.com, who's a retired Army officer who thinks that everything could be done without the state. And he'll explain that very eloquently tomorrow. Worms.